walked in. And Garrett walked over to me and his sweet, innocent self said, "Well, Mr. Larry, I sure hope your foot gets better." And Brian asked me how my foot was doing. I said, "Well, you know, as you get older, it takes a little bit longer for your body to heal." At which Brian looks at Garrett and says, "How old do you think Mr. Larry is?" To which Garrett said, "Somewhere in his 60s, maybe." So I would say I'm that much closer to heaven. You know, there are days when I turn over, sometimes as I wake up in the middle of the night, and I begin to think of all the things that I need to do for the next day, and because of that, it keeps me up, and sometimes I just get up to begin my day. The Bible tells us, and even Jesus himself talked about doing the work of the Father while it is day, because no man can work while it is night. Understanding the pressing concern that it is for each of us, as even the Ecclesiastes writer says in Ecclesiastes 2, that we must redeem the time while we have that time, because the days are evil. So we understand the pressing concern for all of us individually as God's children that we have, because we know that one day we will, and we all pray certainly for that based upon the life that we live and how we're going to be judged that we talked about 2 weeks ago as we continue in our word study. But when we think about the judgment, we know one day we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But ultimately, we also know that our home of where we want to spend eternity is to be in heaven with the Father. That's what we desire for ourselves, and all of that is based upon our living here. But it's also based for a longing of being in eternity with God, because that's where our home is. And even Jesus talks about in John chapter 14 of preparing that mansion and that place for us of where we want to be. We often sing that song that this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through as a stranger, because we understand the glory and the grandeur of what heaven is going to be for all of us. Because this is simply a temporary dwelling place for us as God's children. You see, we have a lot of things to do to prepare for eternity. We have work that must be done in the kingdom. We have lives that we must prepare in and of ourselves. We have children that we want to see grow up and become faithful and godly children in the Lord's church. So there's a lot of things that we have to do. But guess what, brethren? We don't have a lot of time, because time is quickly running out. I didn't realize I was in my 60s until this morning. So time is gaining rather quickly on me. You know, I told you about what Myra told me several weeks ago, and as I was watching that commercial, she said I needed a particular product, and she said, "Because you're getting old, Dad." So we know as we grow older, and if the Lord blesses us with another day that we can wake up and breathe and serve Him, that's one day closer to death. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. That day is coming for all of us, but it's what's on the other side of judgment that we want to look forward to. Judgment, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, is something that we should not fear, but it's something we should look forward to, because in that moment, if we're found faithful based upon the way that we live, that we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye herein to receive your reward." That's what all of us are looking forward to. But based upon our home in heaven, there are some things I want us to talk about. When you think about the vastness of eternity, because it lies before us, each moment does absolutely bring us closer. But the one thing that I look forward to probably the most, not only with being with God, but is that in our home, it's going to be a place of rest for all of us. Even the Hebrew writer talks about this in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 3. You see, because of the vastness of eternity, we should leave this life unfearing with certainty, knowing what that reward is going to be. And the Bible tells us what that reward is going to be, because there's a home waiting for us, and that we can dwell in that home in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because it's where we want to spend eternity. You see, we must be convinced that there's a lovelier place to live than this world in which we're dwelling today. You know, I can't even begin to imagine what the glories of heaven is going to be like. And I always think about that story that's told about Brother Marshall Keeble, the great gospel preacher that he was. But they said some time ago, back in the 60s, when he was teaching at the Nashville School of Preaching, he's sitting in his office and one of the other instructors walks by and he's just laughing hysterically. And he walked in, he said, "Brother Keeble, what's so funny? Why are you laughing?" He said, "I'm just thinking about heaven." Because when we think about the glories of heaven, it should bring a smile to our face. It should be something of which we look forward. because we know that's where our eternity is going to be. We can't lose our confidence in knowing what God has promised us because it's going to be a home. It's going to be a place where we can rest. The Bible tells us there's not going to be any more tears in heaven. As a matter of fact, we often sing the song, don't we? No tears in heaven. Because no more pain and no more sorrow, none of those things that God promises us that we no longer have to worry about when we get there. All of those things are going to be wiped away because of what heaven is going to be for each one of us. You see, this is a promise that was given by Jesus in John chapter 14. As Jesus is preparing His disciples for what's going to come concerning the kingdom, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The promise that His disciples did not fully understand nor comprehend at that moment based upon what He was saying concerning the kingdom, but He was giving them a promise of saying, "I will come back and bring you home." I heard one gospel preacher say one time, "I don't care if I have a mansion, if I have a tent on the side of the road in heaven, I'm going to be a happy camper because I'm going to be with the Father in heaven." And that's where we all want to be. And Jesus gives us the great promise of that because the mansions are the eternal home for all of those who faithfully follow Jesus. And what a glorious day that's going to be for all of us. You see, we long for home because, brethren, this world isn't complete. And this world doesn't complete us as God's children because there's something that we should always be longing for. Because if you're not longing for it, do you truly desire it? You know, I think about sometimes when we talk about our vacations and we prepare for that, and sometimes we spend months or even years planning for it. We're paying ahead of time. We're buying luggage and preparing ourselves and taking time off and doing all of these things to prepare ourselves for just a few short weeks. Just a few weeks we'll take and make sure we've got every piece of luggage and we've got checklists and all of these other things. But why is it that we don't do the same thing for heaven? Why is it that we don't put around in the same amount of preparation into preparing for eternity that we do for a two-week vacation? Because if we're not putting forth the same effort, is it really worth all of that effort to us? Because if it's not, brethren, then we're certainly not desiring that which God is promising us. When we think about God and how He's watching over us here to prepare us there, I always think about Psalm 23. And here's David from the standpoint of looking as a sheep to the shepherd of the Father of who he was. And thinking about what Jesus did for us, but as God is watching over us, preparing us for that journey, He's taking care of us while we're here. He's giving everything that pertains to life and godliness that's going to prepare us for heaven. That's going to prepare us for the journey. But brethren, we got to make sure we read the roadmap. We've got to make sure that we understand the promises that are contained within God's Word. You see, in heaven is when we're actually with the Lord and that we can see Him. Remember what Job was telling to the individuals as they were doubting who he was and the love he had for God? When you have three friends like that, who needs enemies? Job, obviously you're lying, you did something. Maybe it's your kids who sinned. Obviously there's something going on in your life, but you know, you're having all of these problems. Job said, "Hold on. I might be going through a lot of pain and sorrow here," but he said in Job 19, "My eyes will behold the glory of God." I can go through the pain and suffering here, Job said, knowing what I get to look forward to in eternity. So this is nothing that I'm going to go through now of which I get to enjoy when I get to heaven. We run that Christian race that Paul is talking about. You see, here we're just passing through another land, and there's an appointed time of which that change is going to come. You see, even Peter talks about beseeching strangers as we dwell here in the land as he's talking to that first century church. He refers to them as strangers, as foreigners, and that's how we should also look at ourselves, because we are strangers here. We say it often, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We live here, but we're really not taking up space as it should go, because we're just simply passing through. You see, we are strangers here. There's a promise of rest that God gives us based upon the house that He's going to provide for us. But the question is, who's going to be there? Are you going to be there? You look at John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus said, "Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." So unless one has obeyed the commands of God concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we talked about this morning concerning the grace that God gives us based upon the gift of His Son at Calvary, unless we accept that free gift, and unless we are born of water and the Spirit, unless we put on Christ in baptism, you will not enter into the gates of heaven. It is a cold, hard fact that God gives us. You must be in His family. But even once we accept the gift and we put on Christ in baptism and we follow the steps that God gives us, we've got to continue to remain faithful. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, Jesus said. Even to the point of death is what the Greek is talking about there. Even if it means losing your life, you must remain faithful if you want to go to heaven. You know, I've mentioned to you before, I always think about these individuals that are going off to foreign countries that are asked to denounce their Christianity if they want to be relieved of the death that's to come. I ask myself, could I be in that situation as I'm on my knees, perhaps ready to be beheaded at that moment because of who I represent and who I worship? Am I willing to not denounce my Lord in heaven? Because even to the point of death, God says, you've got to remain faithful. And if it means that you might lose your life, then so be it. But that's what Jesus is talking about here. Only the faithful, only those who remain faithful, only those who are part of the family of God are the ones who are going to be in heaven. I often hear people say, well, Brother Larry, I know a really nice person, and man, she's just the sweetest, wonderful lady. There's no way that she's not going to be in heaven. Is she a Christian? Well, no, she's never put on Christ in baptism. And I said, well, good people don't go to heaven. Christians do. And as much as that might hurt us sometimes, it's the facts. You know, I mentioned to you before my grandfather. I had one grandfather who was a gospel preacher. The other was not a Christian. Loved my pawpaw dearly. One of my best friends, we were extremely close. But he had nothing to do with religion. Do I know where he is now? Absolutely I do, because the Bible tells me where he is. Does that hurt? Yes, it does. But also understand what the Bible tells me, and that Jesus himself gives more warning concerning hell than anybody else in the Bible, because he wants people to understand how horrible hell is going to be. And he wants us to be afforded the opportunity, given a place of rest and a place that we're going to dwell based upon his love for us, that he went through all of that pain and suffering, that we can be in eternity with God. But he also gives us the other side of what it's going to be like if we choose not to be in heaven. And brethren, that's not a place I want to be. If I had one wish for mankind, it would be to give them a glimpse of hell for 1 second. Because then people would truly understand how horrible it is. You read the judgment scene in the book of Matthew in chapter 25 that Jesus is talking about the individuals, how he's going to separate them. You have those that are going to enjoy the glory of heaven and those that are going to be sent away into everlasting punishment of gnashing teeth, of pain and misery is what the Greek is bearing out for us there. There's never going to be any relief in hell. None. It is a constant situation of pain and horror, a place that you do not want to be. You see, the promise that God has given us and who's going to be there are only those who are found faithful in God. Only those that are born of water and the Spirit are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. But this is a question people often ask me. What's it going to be like there, Brother Larry? I don't know. I know that John gives us a glimpse into what the glory is going to be like. And when you read through that, I think even that doesn't do justice. Because if we try and explain what heaven is going to be like, how would you explain a beautiful sunset to somebody who's blind? How would you explain what a nightingale or a whippoorwill sounds like to someone who's deaf? You see, there are some things you just simply cannot put into words to explain the glory of it. And though John gives us the best example of what heaven's going to be like here in Revelation chapter 22, I still don't think it does it justice of what it's truly going to be like on that day. You know, people always joke sometime of the questions they're going to ask when they get to heaven. Well, did Adam really have a belly button or did he not? You know, did the chicken come before the egg? You know, why did Eve take that fruit to begin with? What was that thorn in Paul's flesh? You know, all those questions we ask ourselves. But you know what? If I had to venture a guess, I think when we get there, you're not going to care. just to be in the presence of God Himself is going to be enough. Because of the awesomeness of what heaven's going to be like for us, none of those things are going to matter. Look at Revelation 22, the first five verses. John writes, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, that tree that God promises us, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were of the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no light there, and there shall be no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And then when you go on to read the rest of that, as it continues on, and even back in chapter 21, to show the glory of what heaven's going to be like that we talked about concerning that great judgment scene, I think the world has its flaws and its struggles, but you see, heaven is free from the corruption of sin and what the world contains. And none of those things are going to be there. And that's something of which we get to be a part of. We get to enjoy that. Jesus said that we are the elect of God. You see, though we are stained and scarred by sin, Revelation 7 says it's the blood of Jesus Christ that purifies all of that, that we might spend eternity with Him. You know, I can't tell you the fullness of heaven's glory. I haven't been there. And even if I had the opportunity, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I wouldn't be able to tell you more because no words can describe it. Paul said, "I knew of a man who once saw heaven, but yet because of the words that were uttered, he couldn't even talk about it." That is, the man himself couldn't even explain it. You know, it's interesting to note that those angels that rebel against God as they're cast out of heaven don't get a second chance like we do, because guess what? If you leave the glories of heaven and it's not enough to begin with, God said you don't get to come back. And I can't even imagine those angels that get to be in the presence of God Himself to say, "This isn't where I want to be for eternity." Don't you want to be there? What I do know is that it's more wonderful than I can imagine, greater than I can consider myself worthy obtaining, but the Lord has promised each of His children the glory of it. And all of us can be there. So the question I want to ask you now is, are you going? That's the decision that you have to make. That's the choice you have to make tonight if that's where you want to be. You know, we talked about the grace of God this morning and accepting that gift. The gift is extended every time the invitation is offered, but not only then, when we come to understand the knowledge of what the truth is and what we must do to be saved, we can do that. But you see, the opportunity is afforded to you tonight to know what's awaiting for you in eternity. You know, we think about retirement and what that day is going to be like. We think about no more work and no more schedule, and I get to kind of do my own thing. You know, my parents are retired now, and I often ask them if they regret having retired early like they did and not working anymore, and my dad says, "Not one minute. Not one minute." I said, "Well, what's it like to wake up and knowing you don't have a schedule?" He said, "It's the best thing ever." But I think about the retirement plan that God offers us. Far better than this one, brethren. Far better than this one. We've got a retirement plan that's out of this world. That can be yours tonight. You don't have to pay into a 401k or an IRA or a Roth or anything like that. You can simply accept the gift tonight. Put on Christ in baptism, first repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, "If you'll confess me, I'll be willing to stand before the Father and say, this is one of yours." And put them on in baptism tonight to receive that gift, as we said in John 3:5, to be born of water and the Spirit. But you've got to live faithfully after that. And perhaps you're not living faithfully as you ought. Maybe you want to be more strong or stronger in the Lord. Maybe you want to be more faithful. Maybe your faith is weak and faltering. Whatever the case is, we want you to know tonight that you can be right with the Lord and that you can know that your eternity is going to be heaven. You know, I can think of many accounts of many individuals, of the funerals that I've preached over the years, of those that fell just short of the mark of heaven. just missed it. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. James 4 tells us how short life is. But don't miss eternity tonight. Because heaven forbid you should not have tomorrow where you see eternity tomorrow. You have the opportunity tonight as together we stand and as we sing.
Savior, we enter the glory and glory.